Next week, Deb Killian's going to be sharing. So next Sunday morning, she'll be sharing and sharing the word. The following Sunday, Charles Grogan will be sharing over here. And then the following week, Brian Pedersen will be sharing. And then I'll be back in for a few weeks. I've already got about 10 sermons. You know, it's nice when you don't have to study. You can just read. And the Lord's been speaking to me some amazing things in my time with him. And just getting a chance to read his word. And you know how beautiful his word is. Man, his word's amazing. So I'm looking forward to get back in the pocket in a few weeks. But boy, I've been really enjoying being fed, just sitting and being fed. And so I'm going to invite my friends, Pastor Justice, to come and share. And if you want to have Pastor Margaret come as well, you can. I love you guys have the same. Look at you match. That is awesome. Can we welcome Pastor Justice and Pastor Margaret?
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Blessings. We are so happy to be here because we are children of God. We are children of one Father. The Lord is going to bless us this morning. Thank you for welcoming us. We love you.
Wow, that was good.
Yeah. Always wanting to take back the microphone. Wow. Thank you so much, Pastor, for having us. And thank you so much, Church, for having us again. We feel blessed and honored to be back here and especially to share with you in the pulpit. We don't take it for granted. We thank God for it. It's a privilege to be in the house of God today and to share this morning. Thank you so much. For those who don't know us, we come from Bungoma, Kenya. Bungoma, Kenya is in the east coast of Africa. It's like, you know, that horn of Africa. We are actually below Sudan, Ethiopia, Somalia, Uganda on the west, Tanzania on the south, and we're doing ministry there. How we came to know USA was through a lady missionary. Her name is Mama Doris. She gave her life to the Lord in Las Vegas. Given that story before is Easter Sunday, 1975, she was going to have breakfast at Circus Casino. And someone was having church in the casino on that morning, and the son said, "Mom, let's go to church." She didn't want to go, but she went because for the sake of her son. And in the church, she didn't want also to hear the preaching. But at the end, they sang, "He touched me," and someone touched her. When she turned to see who had touched her, she found there was none. Then she knew it was the Lord who had touched her. So she gave her life to the Lord that day. And when she gave her life to the Lord, she became a missionary. And she was a missionary to Hawaii for many years. Then a missionary in Sri Lanka in India. And then 1986, she was attending the Holy Spirit Conference. I go to the Holy Spirit Conference, Las Vegas, every year, so I remember all this. She was attending Bill Graham's evangelistic conference in Amsterdam, and my uncle was there. So I invited her to come to Kenya, and that's how we met. And she put me under her wing, helped me to grow up in the Lord, and we began the Bible school. And this Bible school or Bible college is to train people in the Word of God, to teach people to become disciples of Jesus. In turn, they can go out and also teach others and make more disciples. So through the Bible school, many lives have been transformed. Several thousands graduated from the Bible school, hundreds of churches planted from this Bungoma Bible school, and many more are being planted, because that's been our mission, to make disciples and to teach people about the Word of God. And so, and then through that, we also have a children's home that we have around 38 boys that we take care of. We feed and we, you know, clothe and have a place for them to stay and take them to school. We have also street children that we minister to the boys on the street. Right now, actually, our number went up. We were doing like 30 boys. We are doing 40 to 70 boys. And we give them hot meal, bless them, minister to them, share the love of Jesus with them. And also, we have a church where we pastor, and also some churches that have been planted from that church. So thank you so much for being part of what God is doing in Kenya. And so I come to bring a good report of the good things that the Lord has done, because this church has blessed us. And this church has stood with us to support us. The times we've been here to minister, you've given your offering, and many good things have happened. One of the good thing that happened last year was our well. We had a challenge with the well the previous year, actually. And the pump first broke. And after the pump broke down, we bought the pump, believed God for the money to buy the pump. But little did we know that there was an earthquake, actually, and it kind of made a crack on our septic and leaked into the... oh, yeah. Electric the well. So we were challenged because it was a well that really cost a lot of money to build. And something that we've had is a blessing to have water. Really, a great blessing to have water. Because where we come from, you know, and we were talking about this with Roy, he was giving a story about Nairobi, where they go to, and this place where you never know where the water is going to come. In Bungoma, where we are, they give us water. The city pumps water. But the water is not as clean as this one you see down here, like this river. This river is very clean. And so they have to purify the water, and sometimes they don't purify it. They just pump it. You know, if there's no water and people want water, they just pump it. And sometimes they don't put chlorine in it. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. So, and they ration it. So you don't get water at the same time you want. I mean, it doesn't come like during the day. It can come even 3 a.m. Or 2 a.m. or 4 a.m. If you don't wake up at night to fetch water, then, uh-oh, you don't have water. So really, this was a great blessing for us to have this well. And we were able to redo the well, redo the septic tanks, cleaned up the well, disinfected the well, and it cost a lot of money to do that. And you are part of it. And so thank you so much for helping us do that. We've been able to take our children to school. We've been able to take in more children this year. And so we're just so thankful for what the Lord has done and for what the Lord is doing. Thank you so much. So we met our friends, Deb and Roy. We met Deb when we were in Las Vegas. We were visiting a pastor in Las Vegas. And we had this call to come to ICLV to meet with her. And from that, the Lord connected us. And it's been a great, great journey of blessings and growing on knowing each other and support and all that. So we are just so thankful for this connection. And through that, we get to meet Pastor Mike and his family. Hallelujah. He just got me saved this morning. Yeah. That's what he told my wife. He told my wife, I just got your husband saved. I said, thank you. Now at least you have a saved husband. And in Africa, we really preach serious gospel that you really must get saved, because there's so much tradition. And it's a blessing for a husband to be saved. Anyway, I have a few minutes to share with you. Actually, it's not just a few minutes, it's a lot of time. But I like to, you know, I'm talking slowly. Are you understanding my accent? Yeah? Yeah, if you don't, you just raise up your hand and I say whatever I said in English. Because I could be speaking my language. Because we speak in many tongues at home. We do, really we do. Seriously, we do speak in many tongues. We have 42 different tribes in Kenya. Right now, there are up to 44 different tribes. 45. Speaking their own languages. Yeah, like my wife, she has her own language she speaks with her sister. And I can't get a thing. So our children, you know, she comes from a different tribe, I come from a different tribe. So our children are somewhere in between. So we thank God. So God has positioned us for his glory. He has called us for his purpose. We are not in this world by accident. And our calling is something very special that was done by him. And we give him glory for that. When we were sinners and we didn't know him, he knew us. He loved us before we understood the word love. Before we knew him, he knew us and he chose us. And he separated us and made us his own. We are his children. We are his beloved. And so because we have been positioned, using that word position, I was asking, when I came in, pastor was, you know, taking me through, okay, come up. So I came up. He said, walk up with me. So I said, oh, walk up with me. Where are we going? So we walked down, I was sitting at the back. We walked up. I came, reached here. He walked at the pulpit. You know, he came up. And he showed me about where I'm going to preach from. I said, I'm okay with that. So I've been positioned to speak from here. Yeah, and this, the reason, he has good reasons. Reason is I'm closer to you. That's one of the reasons. Another reason is just nice podium, round one. It's another reason. There's so many reasons why it is positioned this way. So we walk up and say, okay, and I ask some questions. Some things I saw on the pulpit, I don't understand. I like knowing new things on the, or when I visit people. I say, whoa, what is this? Oh, and I know the microphone, yeah. I know there's a piano, I know there's a keyboard, but what is that? So he explained to me. And when I looked at each one of those gadgets, they are placed and positioned in a certain way, in certain places, and almost the same. Same. And there's a reason as to why they're positioned in the right place. Wow, and so I was thinking about my message or my sermon this morning. Say, wow, we have been positioned as children of God. We have a destiny, but we could not understand or realize that destiny without being positioned in the kingdom, being positioned as sons to understand who we are in the Lord. Yes. So, is the way something is placed, or the way, you know, it can be a rank, it can be, you know, a place, it can be, it just, sometimes you're not in your right place. Now, I'll preach, and maybe if I refer to myself more, it will make more sense to me. Okay, I'm very careful about going like that. Because one day I was preaching in our church, and I was talking about Peter, and Jesus said, Satan, behind me. And this lady didn't come to church for several weeks. And then I asked, so where is so-and-so? Oh, she's saying that you called her the devil. So I said, no, I didn't call her the devil. Just, you know, preaching like that. I was not pointing at anyone, you know. I was just, you know, I like doing, you know, doing gestures when I'm preaching. So I'm not really pointing at anyone. I'm talking about just us and me. And sometimes when I'm not in my right place, even coming from America has been just another thing. Like Pastor talking about him taking a sabbatical from preaching, and now he has like 10 sermons. Wow! 10 sermons! You should be clapping for Pastor for that, for have 10 sermons. You know, because most people don't understand how hard it is to get a sermon. I'm a preacher. I preach I don't know how many times a week. And we are like so many services. We have several services in our church. And we have, you know, during the week. And we have other places we preach. And the hardest sermons to preach are the ones you preach in your own church. Okay. I'll keep on talking and see if I can understand myself. So, actually, it's the hardest. Because it's like, in our church, you know, most of the church members have gone through Bible school, our Bible school. We've been teaching, we've taught all kinds of subjects. Over 100 subjects have been taught. And not like something we are teaching for 2 hours. It's something that has been taught, like some of them have done 4 years of Bible school. They're all sitting, you know, and, you know, I'm the preacher, and I don't know much. It's like, I don't know much. So you start preaching, and people take their pens. You know, they come with their notebooks, and they have their pens, and they're ready to write notes. And then you look at their faces. They would put back their notebooks and their pens. I say, oh, wow. So that's why I say it's really not because you're preaching to the same people. So what I was saying is, when we came here, it's like I'd come out of my place, my where I have been, where I'm preaching from, or I mean where I'm ministering, and then God begins to speak to me. I say, wow. So I got a pen. I began writing, and to really say the truth, my pen was not writing. I had challenges with my pen. And so, you know, I was scrubbing in the book, you know, scrubbing in this book, and my pen is failing, So I have this like 3 pages of. So when it came to Deb, I mean to Roy and Deb, one of the presents they gave me was a notebook and a new pen. I said, thank you, Lord. Took the pen, the notebook. I began writing the things that I feel the Lord is pressing on my heart. It's like new revelations. It's like, wow, if we did this, if we went this way, if we did this, if so-and-so was helping us in this area in our church, oh, that would be wonderful. There are some people who've been just sitting in this church for a long time, not done anything. They're just members of the church. I wrote them down and said, okay, they need to get on board and begin doing something in the house of God. Oh, some are so reserved. If you ask them to do something, they will do it. If you don't, they won't. So I wrote them down. Are you people getting my preaching? Are you? Yeah. So I wrote down. I'm talking about me. So I wrote down. They said, wow, it is the positioning. It is the placing. It is being in the right place. Because sometimes, you when you are not in the right place, you can't hear. You could be in a place where there's so much noise. But then, you know, I'm serving God in Bungoma. I'm doing all this, I'm doing that. There's so much to be done. We've delegated, but the work is just too much. The culture is different, and the work is much. We delegate to people who call us anytime. They think they can call you anytime. We've done, you know, like, a teaching our people about making appointments. Please make an appointment to come to our house. Some have gotten it, but most of them have not. And so when I began the issue of an appointment, because I was sometimes could be in the church until very late, at 11 o'clock, 11 p.m., even midnight. My house is not very far from my office. We live in the same compound. So I leave the morning. I can't go for lunch. I can't get out of my office and go for lunch behind the house. And I can't, in the evening, I can't again go back to the house. So my boy is growing. And so my boy is in class 4, 5. And he asked me, Dad, are you again going to do the work of the Lord? I said, yes. And I asked him, why did you ask that question? Because I woke them up at 5 in the morning. I'm the one who prepared them in the morning, you know, for them to go to school. They were supposed to be in school by 6 or 6:30. And so I had to wake them up at 5. And so, Dad, are you still going to do the work of the Lord? I said, yes. And so, why? It's because every time we come in the evening, we don't find you. You are doing the work of the Lord. I said, oh. So I had to reprioritize my reschedule, my life or my time. And what the Lord spoke to me really is that I was going to lose my family because they were going to begin, they're beginning to have issues with the work of the Lord. Because as long as I stayed in the office, people came. And I was surprised that at 9, when I'm leaving my office, there are more people seated at the bench outside, waiting for me to talk to them. So I followed the Jethro's advice. And so I took a bold step in our church and said, okay, this is what I want you to do to help me run and minister to you effectively. Please, I have a secretary. Let's make appointments and we'll go by appointments. I lost several families. They said, no, it can't. This is not our culture. But it helped. I raised my children. I was able to raise my children. They love the Lord. The challenge I have with them nowadays is now they have grown. John is 26, 27 years. And James is 21. And Joshua just turned 19. And now they're busy in the bedrooms. So I come home. Say, boys, come out, come out, come out. And they come out. I said, Dad, you called us. I said, I want you to sit. I want to have fellowship. They'll have fellowship for a short time. They want to go. Anyway, the point here is positioning yourself to where you are supposed to be. So are you where you are supposed to be? If you are where you are not supposed to be, you're not here well. There's been not so much noise. And, you know, believers, the good thing with us, blessings we have is Holy Spirit. We have been giving Holy Spirit as our help, the one called alongside to help and to go with us and to be with us always. When we hear him, we will not miss God. In everything we do, morning, during the day, and at night, he is the one called alongside to help. He is the guide. He is the leader. He is the reminder. So when we hear him, we walk in his ways and we walk in his paths. Because we are not called to walk in any way. No. That's why Christianity is not walking on the wide road. It's walking on the narrow path. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, if I position myself for his purpose, I can do this in 5 minutes. Yes, I can do it. I can finish it in 5 minutes. Yes, I do. And my wife always says, so you can finish in 5 minutes. Even if I don't finish in 5 minutes, I can finish in 5 minutes. Yeah, he does that. Oh, ah. It's just this thing with the pastors when you are flying, you know, I'm going to, it's like you're going to, you know, but you can't really land. You are still flying the plane all over. We identify with Christ. That is our identity. It's our position. We're born again. Children of God. We walk as he walked, according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. We commit us. It's a life of commitment, really. You know, it's a life of commitment. This is what I've found out. Because what I've found out is I'm not happy any other way. I'm happier this way. Why am I not happy any other way? It's because this is my calling, my purpose, my design. I've been designed this way, to live a life for Him, to please Him, to live for Him. And it's there for me, and it's not a struggle, because He's given me all the help I need. And the help I need is from the Holy Spirit. The grace is there to do or to live this life. But the burden is light, and the yoke is easy. Oh, it's good. There are no burdens. In traditions, there are burdens. They overburden you with the rules, with that, with this, if you cross that, if you do that, you know, all kinds of things in tradition. I don't know if you people have tradition in America, but in Africa, we have African traditions. They're bad. They bind people. Even when people give their lives to the Lord, they're still bound with their tradition. Superstitions. They can't do this, they can't do that, they can't greet so, they can't meet so. Oh, I met a black cat, or I met this and that, or so and so said this, or the sun was just, I think something, or the clouds were there, and it was unfortunate for me because there were clouds. No, we don't go by luck. We are blessed. God is our guide. God is leading us. God is going before us. Woo-wee! Woo! Yeah. So the second thing I said is commitment. So I just commit myself. Second one is obedience, life of obedience. In this life of being in where I'm supposed to be, I just need to obey. Yeah, and I'm learning that along as I grow in obedience with the Lord. If I had done everything the Lord asked me to do, I will not be the way I am today. I'd be far much different than what I am. But my slow in growth has been as a result of not doing the will of the Father. But He has not given up on me. That's a good thing. He's not given up on me. I'm His child. That even though I've not obeyed, I've not matured in the area of obedience, He loves me. And He calls me and says, Justice, come on, come on, come on. And waiting for me. Ah, it's good. Oh, so that's how I rejoice when I'm preaching myself. Thank you. And so I was talking my boys, and my boys was like, oh, daddy, no, I told her, come on, boys. You know, hey, I used to be easier, you know, to raise those boys. Boys, I raised them easily, you know, like, hey, I can't say twice. And they're like, oh, dad, oh, they come. And now it's different. They're becoming adults now. So when they become adults, it's like everybody thinks that they know so much. They even know more than I do. Because some of them, you know, they have gone, they have, you know, taken more degrees than I have done. So, you know, dad, you know, I said, stop lecturing me. I'm your father. But they don't understand that at all. They still don't. So sharing with them. Because if I ask you to do something and you don't do it, then that is disobedience. You say, yes, dad. And again, if I ask you to do something and you don't do it when I ask you to do it, it's also disobedience. And we had an argument with that. I said, no, dad. I will do it. No. When I ask you to do it is when I wanted it done. Not when you want it done. So he said, okay. Okay, so delayed obedience is disobedience. Because this is what God wants to do now in your life, in the life of others, or in this life that you are, you know, in this, your life of Christianity and your calling. You know, you have a purpose. You have been called. You have a purpose. You are on assignment. You know it or you don't know it, or you take it lightly or you don't take it lightly. You are on assignment. Father God loves you and loaded you with all the benefits to do your assignment. It could be talking to people, preaching to people, loving people, meeting people, helping whoever you help, and living this life is an assignment. So you can't delay. You just need to do it. Ask God for the grace to do it. I'm talking about me. Then there's that obedience that is special. I'll obey halfway. Like the guy is sent to go and kill the Amalekites. You go kill the Amalekites and finish them. But he goes there, he kills. I say, oh, now, this one I spare. This one I will spare. This one I will spare. But this one I will kill. No. If you don't kill all the giants, they will later become a problem to your generations, the generations to come. So kill all the giants. We always have excuses to kill the giants. I'm talking about me. So God is ministering to me as I'm speaking this morning. So in this positioning ourselves, we position ourselves to obey. We position ourselves to be faithful. And that's the last one. Not really. Almost the last one. Obey. And we position ourselves to be faithful in small things. No obligations. Like you are carrying this heavy cross. You know when we usually talk about, like we're preaching, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you must carry your own cross and follow me. And we are thinking about this huge cross that you are carrying, and you know, like you're falling down with it. Oh, you wake up, you carry it again. It's so heavy. Boop, you get up. No, it's not that huge. No, it is self-denial. Deny yourself. And when I feed my flesh becomes stronger. And fill it with, there are so many things to fill your flesh with. It can be news. It can be gossip. Oh, you people don't do that in Africa. It, when something happens in a village, by evening, it is all over the whole village. I mean, everywhere is like that. And it's bad news. Or you can feed your flesh. You can feed your flesh with desires, bad desires, sin, or things that God don't want you to do. I find myself, I should not be thinking about that. Because man always looks for solutions. If someone wrongs you, what do you think about it? The first thing. If they wrong me, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to defend myself and do something. If I'm doing, do something. So there was this time, this is just one story. We had violence in our country. It was serious violence. It was election violence, and it was between tribes. And my wife is from another tribe, which people were trying to get. And not just to get, but to kill. And so, I have these people sending text messages on my phone. We are coming. We have reached this place and we are coming. And you will see. When we get there, we are going to. And so, you know, you hear this and brings fear. And there was fear. And so I got ready. You know what I did, Dave? I got myself a machete and put it near my bed. I got myself an iron bar, a long and heavy one, and say, if it is my wife, I'm going to protect her with my life. Before they get her, they will get me first. So, you know, you're talking about like when 50 or 100 people come, it's not like one person coming to you. You're talking about 150 people coming with machetes and coming with all armed with arrows and bows and arrows. And that, you know, it was that bad that thousands of people died. You know, it was that bad. But here I am thinking, if you do something bad to me, I am going to deal with you. Okay. But at least she knows that I had that, so she should feel secure that I can still protect her. I tried with my machete, which never worked, and I tried also with my, you know, the Lord began ministering to me. Are you trusting in weapons? Pray. So we began praying and asking the Lord to protect us. And the Lord protected us in our compound. And so other many families also came and found refuge in our home and the Bible school. And there's a place where people went to find refuge at the church, and they burned that church. And they burned the people in the church. The Lord protected us in Bungoma. But you see, when that comes, you know, you... So I'm encouraging us this morning to be in that place where we commit ourselves to follow the Lord, commit ourselves to love Him, serve Him, and be where He wants us to be. And when I'm where I'm supposed to be, you know that place where you're supposed to be. If you're not in the right place where you're supposed to be, you can tell. Your spirit bears witness. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And God, spirit of God lightens your spirit. But your spirit is the candle of the Lord. It knows. So even before a preacher comes, you know the reason why we have defense sometimes when we are preaching? And you have so much defense. It's not because I know where I am, you know. I know my position. So I want to protect my position so that this preacher don't get me. It's like, okay, preach on, but you know what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord. I actually don't know how to finish, but I'm done. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you. Bless you so much. You are so good. You are so wonderful. You are so beautiful. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for positioning us to be children, your sons and daughters. Positioning us for the kingdom, to live for you. Thank you, Lord. It's not what we did, but what you did for us. What you have accomplished for us. We thank you for it. Thank you for the grace to live, to fulfill our purpose and our destiny on earth. Oh, we just give ourselves, surrender totally to you. You have your way in our lives. Oh, yes, have your way.
Have your way, Lord Jesus.
We're going to, in just a moment, we're going to receive a love offering for Pastor Justice and Margaret and invest in good soil. We're going to invest in the kingdom. But as Pastor Justice was speaking, I just had this real strong impression of position comes from surrender. When we surrender to the Father's love, we obey and He positions us to wherever He needs us throughout the day because we live this posture of surrender. And Jesus did that to His Father. He said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. I only say what my Father tells me to say. That He lived in this posture of surrender. That never once did He say, this is my way, my day, my way of doing things. He positioned Himself through surrender to the love of His Father. And Like I said, in a moment, we're going to receive a love offering. But would you just join with me in posturing your hands like I'm holding a microphone, so out before the Lord, and just come to this place of surrendering to his love, surrendering to what his plans and purposes are, because they are always the best. That position of faith, that position of obedience, that position of knowing that, God, we're just right where you have us to be. Lord, thank you for the stirring of your word, of positioning us. And we yield to that. We surrender to that. That, Lord, you know what's best. You know what's greatest. The path is narrow. It's not we've got 10,000 options. It's this single focus of following your love and your truth. And we're positioned by you, Good Shepherd. And Lord, in Jesus' name, we receive this word into our lives. We receive these things into our heart that you have called us to be your children before we even had an inkling of who you were. You love us without condition. You correct us with gentleness and kindness. You are committed to us and our journey here on this earth. And we receive that word into our lives today. Father, we're going to sow into Africa now. Only you can take money and turn it into change lives. You can take temporal things like money and you can turn it into eternal life change. And Lord, we're going to give today and we are expecting in it a return on our investment. We're expecting, God, eternal lives changed from a temporal dollar, $5, $10, $1,000, whatever it is. These things are temporal. They're just now. But Lord, we believe throughout all eternity, our money is going to give testimony to lives that are changed. And we believe that. So Lord, bless this offering. Bless Pastor Justice and Pastor Margaret. Bless them, Father God. Bless, Lord God, every aspect of their lives. And Lord, let there be tremendous fruitfulness. Let it expand this year. Let it even be larger this year, Lord, because they've been found trustworthy of what you have given them. They have been found trustworthy. Now, Lord, expand their territory. Expand, Lord God, their influence. Expand, oh God, their ability to bring dramatic eternal change in their community and beyond. In Jesus' name. And would you agree with me, family, by saying yes and amen? In Jesus' name.